What's up, my friends? Welcome back to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. You had a chance to listen to two of the four parts of my interview with Jay Abraham. Hopefully you're enjoying them so far. And so this episode is the third installment. And this one, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of other cool things that Jay asked me about. We talk about how we grow our companies. I talk about the Dream 100. I talk about endorsements and collaborations. We talk about how Jay and Tony Robbins work together and how I work with Tony Robbins. We talk about the three P's, passion, purpose, and possibility. We talk about the fact that what we do actually matters. We talk about the ripple effect that you and your business and your ideas can have upon the world and a whole bunch of other things. So welcome back to the third part of this exciting interview with Jay Abraham. I hope you enjoy it. If so, please let me know. Please take a screenshot of your phone and tag me on, post it on social and tag me out. That way I can see which stories you guys are liking the most and which ones you resonate. Hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you guys next week for the exciting conclusion of my interview with Jay Abraham.
So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
I mean, I was so blessed that I had so many mentors when I was younger, but I used to hear all the time, the sooner you get your first sale, the sooner you get your second. So you get your second, sooner you get your third. And you should think that way. But people go, well, I only sell this. And I'll say, why? They buy these other things. And if you sold the first thing, the lesser things, you get lots more of these. But people, consequential, critical, and I don't know if it's integrative, but thinking about all the logical correlations that define somebody. And I mean, we did it. I mean, I'll tell you a fun story, and this is not tangential ADD. It will help people. You probably know this, but I was involved in all these. I mean, I'm no longer my claim to fame, but we did an Entrepreneur Magazine when nobody even knew what the word meant. We had to send out letters, Russell, that had the Webster's Dictionary explanation of what it meant and also how to pronounce it. Serious, swear to God. I mean, I remember the magazine you were subscribing to only too well. There were a bunch of them like that then. And what was the point? But this was so interesting. There's two different elements. We thought our market was just people who wanted to, to start a business. But then we realized, is anybody just wanting to make more money? We guys started going to, we went to commodities training. We went to options trading. We went to real estate flipping training. We went to people who were buying a career training, and all of them worked. And then we started buying those kind of businesses and cross-selling because it was the same market. And instead of making this much or losing, we might have lost on the first transaction, but it wasn't really a loss. That was just the cost of getting started in the monetizing relationship. Very interesting, but that's a great point. I love that. Jesus, you're one of the super colossal affiliates. You've used that for your other businesses, for this. Now you have 100,000. It's sort of cool. Captively, you have this audience that's not inconsequential. Talk a little bit about the power. You may know this. I mean, I have so many, Russell, so many distinctions that I forget about most of them, but we've done billions of dollars when I was active in joint ventures, strategic alliances, host beneficiary, endorsement, co-branding, all these things. And I don't think in the Japanese culture they realize how powerful that is because it's a very me against you, and I'm very private. But I think that's a terribly inhibited and limited attitude about growth.
Yeah. In fact, I initially learned all this stuff from you. I remember listening to your CDs, my wife and I driving around in our car, and you talking about host beneficiary and all these strategic partnerships. And a couple things I learned. Number one was, I look at like our customer, right? And our customer, We have the mindset, we think that like, oh, they're our customer. We own them. They only buy from us. And the reality is it's not true. I think about myself, like the things that I buy 10 different things or 20 different things in every market I'm excited by, right? In the health and fitness market, I buy all the things, you know, watches. I like watches. I buy all the watches. I buy all the training courses. Like, I bought everything from you and from Dan and from all the people. So, like, people aren't just buying from you. And so by thinking that you are, that they are, it limits your ability to grow. And so I started looking like, hey, well, who else besides me are they purchasing things from? Like, I need to get to know those people and be partners with them and, like, figure out that. And that was a big part of it. The other thing that you, I can't remember where you said this, but somewhere you talked about, you said, look at, like, the product service you have. And, like, what are all the things that somebody needs before your product and service? And then what are all the things somebody needs right after that? And so that started to make, like, opening my eyes, like, what are all the different things? Like, how do, like, what are all the different ways to do this? And so what I started doing in my business, and actually I learned this coin from Chet Holmes, and I think you're friends with Chet before he passed away, but Chet had this concept that he called the Dream 100. And so we started in our company, we built out what we call a Dream 100. These are 100 people who already have all of our customers congregated together. So they have them either on a Facebook group or an email list or a blog or, you know, somewhere they've already grouped our customers. And so I can go and you know, I can buy ads and target those people, which is good. And, you know, a good example is Tony Robbins, right? So Tony Robbins has got 3 million followers on Facebook, and I can buy ads and show my ads to Tony's audience. But it's so much more powerful to have Tony promote it. So I'm going to do both. I know Tony's one of my Dream 100, so I'm going to target his audience and sell my things to his people. But I'm going to also try to build a relationship with him. And for me, it took me about a decade. I got to know Tony and built a relationship. And about a decade into it, he promoted one of my books. And he did a Facebook Live interview me on his books. And that one Facebook Live ended up getting like 5 million people watch that video. Tons of people bought my book. And it was amazing. And Tony and I aren't competitors, but we both serve the same, like, core audience, like people who are high achievers who are trying to change the world. And that was just one Dream 100 person. The next thing I did is I went, okay, excuse me, I said, okay, who are all the people in my market that have a podcast? So I went to, I'm not sure if it's the same, but I went to iTunes, I went to the podcast directory, and there's a business section. And then it categorizes all the business podcasts from number one down to, I think, 100. So I said, okay, here's 100 people that have my audience that are listening to them in their ears. And so I went and I got the address of every single person who has a business podcast, and I sent them a copy of my book, and I sent them gifts, and I sent them packages in the mail. I tried to build a relationship. And within, you know, a week or two of doing this, I got calls from 5 or 6 of the people that had the top 20 or 30 podcasts. You know, a week later, I was on their podcast, and I've sold tens of thousands of copies of my books and software from these podcast interviews. And so I'm just looking, like, who are the people that already have my dream customers? I'm going to find those people, get to know them, and then figure out how I can get in front of their audiences. And when you do that, like, you know this more than anybody, but, like, it shortcuts your success. You know, I could have bought podcast ads for you know, 5 years to get as many leads as I got off of me being on the top podcast, being interviewed for an hour at a time, as opposed to just, you know, a 30-second ad that would have cost me $20,000. Like, it's crazy. So it's way more efficient and just better way to do it.
Yeah, and you're leveraging all the trust, the goodwill, and the intimacy of a podcast interview with somebody that admires you and is curious about what you know that they don't. The best thing about, I think, a great interviewer is that they are not trying to show you how bright they are. They're trying to be an advocate for their audience. Yeah. And when you have that, then they're showcasing what you know because they want to help translate and transfer that knowledge to their audience. When you can find those kind of hosts or bloggers or whatever it is, Matt, then you've hit what we call the mother load.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, you know, first off, you start building these relationships, and sometimes they become your best partnerships. I'm actually flying out to Tony's house tomorrow. We're flying out to go to spend some time. Like, how cool is that? But it came from me trying to build that relationship, right? You start building relationships with people. That's, like, such a powerful part of it. But then, like you said, you get one person say yes, you know, one blogger's got a big blog who decides to write a blog post about your new product, like, that can be 10, you know, that's the equivalent of you spending $100,000 on Facebook ads. It's just,
you know, it's gonna step on you, but I'm gonna go back in time. So I'll give a true story, and you know, most people don't know this. So in 1991, I was helping Tony's company, and I was very helpful, and we achieved something really cool. We figured out the breakthrough for his predecessor to all the mastery. It was called Mastery University in Hawaii, but that wasn't the story. So afterwards, he learned, I never talked to him. I always talked to his president. He got a hold of me and he wanted me to speak in Hawaii. And I asked in exchange, no fee. I said, why don't you interview me? Because he's a great interviewer. Mm-hmm. And he said, what do you want to sell? I said, nothing. I said, just do an interview for me. And it was really interesting because he is a great interviewer. And he did a great interview of me. And you probably don't know this. I prepared 40 pages of notes that I sent to him. And it took me weeks. And, you know, he's always late. He's always late when you go see him for anything, if it's business. And he was late. Pardon me. But I was supposed to do it at 11. We didn't start till 3. But when he came there, he gained a lot of my admiration because he had notes, not just on every page and not just on every paragraph, Russell, but on every sentence. And what transpired was, and I'm telling this protracted because I'm telling it to you because we don't talk much or at all. And what happened was we started at 3 and we went until 3 in the morning. And the only reason we stopped, this is when they had what was called a DAT, which was a mini version of a VHS, and we ran out. We were on a roll. But what happened was they took 12 hours of interviews and they turned it into the 2-hour power talk that became a classic. He had about 40,000 subscribers, which he put it out to, but I put out 2 million of them. And that transformed my brand. Because not just his stature, but the kind of quality interaction we were having with each other.
Yeah.
So people don't realize how powerful endorsement, collaboration, access to markets. And another point that people don't realize, everybody wants the biggest ones. And that's very, very astute most of the time. But sometimes the smaller ones have a connection to their audience because they're terrible marketers and the people are responding in spite, not because of their marketing acuity. And those people, even though they don't have the quantity, when they encourage you to someone to buy from you or deal with you or respond to you, then the response on a relative basis is outrageous.
Yeah, no, I agree. In fact, I think for most people, it's way better to start at that level because I remember when I first got started, I'd reached out to people like you and Tony and stuff, and I was just this little kid in college, and nobody responded. And that's okay, because, you know, but instead of being upset, like, oh, this doesn't work, I said, okay, well, I'm going to start doing partnerships with people around my same size. And so I found 5 or 6 people. I went to some events. I got to know them, and I was like, we built a relationship, and then we all started kind of cross-promoting each other. And eventually all of our businesses got a little bigger to the point where we were at the next tier of business. And so then I started getting to know all these new people, and I start talking to them, and eventually our businesses grew. And you know, you do that for 3 or 4 years. Eventually, you're at the level of your peers, and also now they'll return your calls. They've seen you all these different places, and you keep showing up over and over and over again. And they're like, oh, this person's actually, you know, putting in the time and the effort, and they're for real. And that gives you access to these people that, you know, once your mentors that you just dreamed about, so now you can be on the call with them, like I'm right now with you, which is insane. This is so fun for me. So
sure. Very good. Thank you. It's more ditto. So let me ask you this. I mean, you evoke, you effervesce what I call the 3 P's, which are passion, purpose, and possibility. How do you keep that? What do you fuel that with?
That's a good question. And this is something that was confusing to me at first because when I got started, I was in college and I was like, I got to make money. I got to make money. That'll be the coolest thing in the world. That was my driving force. And then I made some money. And if anyone who's done this, you make some money and then you're like, huh, that was it. That wasn't quite what I thought it was. Like, I thought it was going to feel different. And then you do, and you're like, you don't feel different. So then I started chasing it some more. I tried to make, maybe I need more money. That'll make me feel different. So I chased that for a while. And it got to a point where I was just like, this is not like what I was hoping it was going to be. And luckily for me, somewhere in that window of time, I had a couple of students who had bought some of my things and something happened and they actually had success with it. And in fact, I remember one of them was this guy and his wife, and they had 2 little kids, and they had used something. They bought one of my courses, they'd used it, they'd applied it, and it changed their life. And I remember they sent me a video telling the story, and they were crying, and then I started crying. And I was like, whatever that feeling is, like that's the thing I thought I was, like I was chasing that. And that feels amazing. I want more of that. And then I shifted from like from me trying to chase to figure out how to make money to like to shifting to chase that feeling where it's like, as I create, I make my job, I make my lives of my people I've been called to serve better. Like I get that feeling back. For me, that was the shift. And so I really figured out at that point, it's like, okay, these are my people. I want to serve entrepreneurs. How am I going to do that? I don't know. And I start trying to figure things out and try to make it simpler and simpler. And as I got better at doing it, and the more I focus on serving them, the simpler, you know, our software got, we made software make it easier. I wrote books that made it simpler. I tried ways to make their lives easier. Then more success stories started coming. And then that started making you feel good. Right. And it's interesting. About once a week, we have a big company meeting at ClickFunnels, and we have a session at the very end. It says, what we do matters. Where we pick one of our entrepreneurs and we tell the story. And it's not like, hey, so-and-so made a lot of money, but it's like, for example, one of them is Kaylin Poland. So Kaylin came into our community. She didn't have any money, but she had her own personal weight loss transformation, lost a bunch of weight, and then she went through our programs. She ended up launching a company that grew really big called Lady Boss. They had over, I think over a million women were on their list, and over 100,000 women had a transformation where they'd lost weight, they'd had more health, they were happy. And so we told, like, for example, we tell Kaylin's story and said, look, this is one person who we interacted with. And from there, she was able, like, the ripple effect from her going through our programs and using our software was 100,000 women lost weight. And those 100,000 women, they went back home and then they had their families and their kids, right? And then plus, you know, for Lady Boss, that company, now they've got like 80 or 90 employees. So it's those employees and then their families. And like, I'm like, that's one entrepreneur. The ripple effect that had on the world is huge. You know, we have 100,000 people using ClickFunnels. So it's like every week we share one of those stories. And for me, like, that's the thing that keeps me like, just like,
love
why I keep doing this. But I'm so excited. It's just like, ah, that feels so good. And you see like something you created or you developed and it changed someone's life like that. Like that's the fuel, at least for me, that keeps me.
And that's beautifully articulated. Thank you. So I'm going to ask two more questions, and then I'll see if Hero is on, if he wants to, before you run out of time, because I don't want to abuse your generosity, but you're great. I mean, you're handling my nonlinear questions beautifully, and your answers
you
are quite
good. Like I think, so it's good.
Well, I'm a poster boy for adult attention deficit, and I admire your brain, and I admire your values. And I admire what you've created. And I get the biggest kick out of trying to do deals with you and see how charmingly you deflect. And I mean that with positivity. I get the biggest kick out of you. And I've enjoyed you a lot. I find you very impressive, monumentally impressive. So what I'm going to use a word that most people aren't going to know here, and I don't know how it's going to be translated. So what rocks your boat today, either in not just ambition in and not just goal but objectives, and I'm differentiating objective from goal. Might be we want to be 400 million, but in order to do that there are objectives that are interesting, like we want to offer 3 more services, we want to own 150 different books we're freely and self-liquidating, we want to, I mean, so what rocks your boat? And everybody, rocks your boat means turns you on, and turns you on means get you conceptually, creatively, commercially, possibility wise, contribution wise, excited. And it can be about ClickFunnels. It can be about any of your other products. It can be about Nobility. But what I know, you've got the human trafficking also, which is admirable. And if you want to talk about it, you can. But in the meantime, what rocks your boat in terms of objectives, not just goals?
Oh, you got me excited. There's like 10 things I could talk about.
Talk about them. I mean, if you'll generously contribute, you're changing people's lives by causing them to think deeply about things they've never been introduced to. You can talk about anything you want and everything you want.
Okay, I'll share, I think, like 2 or 3 really quick. So one of them is related to ClickFunnels directly. So we spent the last year and a half rebuilding our platform, and we're about 2 or 3 months away from launching the new version of ClickFunnels. And the reason why is, I'm sure you've read, but there's a book called Crossing the Chasm, and it talks about the different phases of business where I feel like the first 2 or 3 years of ClickFunnels was us getting the early adopters, and then next was the innovators. And now we're at this chasm where we're trying to take the ClickFunnels to the world. And if you go, most worlds can't fathom what a funnel is. It's beyond them. And so we've tried to redesign the software and the training and everything in this way where we can cross that chasm and eventually go from, you know, 200 million to a billion or beyond by just making it by changing the language and the process and simplifying it to so much so that anybody, like my mom, could log into ClickFunnels and be like, oh, and she knows exactly what to do, right? And so that's something we spent the last year and a half of our lives like deep into that. We haven't showed, like, we're about to like show it to the world, which is always a scary thing, but that's something I'm really excited for. Another big piece, actually, Tony Robbins asked me this question. He said, if you were to sell ClickFunnels or be done, like, what would you do next? And a year and a half ago, I'm like, I don't know, like, this is all I know. And he said, you got to find something else that you're passionate about so that if or when, like, this ends, you've got something else that keeps you motivated. And I didn't know what that was for a long time. And then, probably 6 or 7 months ago, I started collecting old books. And I'm someone who doesn't go, I don't dabble, I go deep on anything I do. And so I started buying old books, and I bought a lot of old religious books that meant a lot to me. But then I was like, I need somewhere to house these books. And so we started designing and building this big 20,000 square foot library with statues of Atlas and a bunch of cool things. And I was going to have the books in there, but I said, well, I want all the old books from all the things I'm passionate about. And so I was like, well, I want a personal development section. I'm like, well, who's got the best personal development books in the world? And one of my favorite authors is Napoleon Hill. And so I went and I found a whole bunch of first edition Napoleon Hill books that like the Laws of Success 3 years before it was ever published. And I ended up spending multiple millions of dollars buying this entire estate of Napoleon Hill with all the first editions that is now in my office. And then I started going down all these rabbit holes, and I bought all these old first edition books, and I'm building this amazing library of learning and entrepreneurship where people can come and they can learn directly from these manuscripts that nobody has seen in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's something I'm just like super passionate, excited for, just because it's given me the ability to like to share these things from that I feel like have kind of, most people have forgotten about them, right? One of the big reasons why I bought Dan Kennedy's company is he almost passed away, as you know, and I was so afraid that all the stuff he had created was just going to disappear into the night. And I was like, man, this stuff changed my life. I want to keep it out there. And so I'm, this whole passion mission right now, where I'm taking the best personal development and marketing and sales stuff from our generations and trying to put it in a platform where it'll live on forever. So that's a big passionate thing that I'm working on right now as well. So those are some of the fun things.
Thank you for listening to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. If you've loved this episode, then please take a screenshot on your phone and post it to Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you post stuff, and be sure to tag me and let me know why you like this episode and what you'd like to hear in the future. That'll help me to know what to create for you. Also, Dan Kennedy and I would love to give you the most incredible free gift ever, designed to help you make maximum money in minimum time. And this free gift comes with almost $20,000 worth of pure money-making information for free, just for saying maybe. You can get this gift from Dan and from me right now at nobsletter.com. Not only are you going to get the $20,000 gift, you're also going to get a subscription to 2 marketing newsletters that will be hand-delivered by the mailman to your mailbox each and every month, one from Dan Kennedy and one from me. To get this gift and your subscription, go to nobsletter.com right now.